In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Here in this gospel reading, it takes place early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is already under siege. Already the Pharisees are jealous of his success. Almost immediately after his baptism in the Jordan River near Jerusalem, Jesus has begun to attract followers through his ministry of healing and proclaiming. And those in power in Jerusalem are being threatened by Jesus' popularity even now. But one of the striking things about Jesus is that whenever Jesus encounters conflict, Jesus is never intimidated. Jesus never retreats by doing the safe thing. Jesus never hangs back because of fear. On the other hand, Jesus uses common sense to avoid premature, useless conflict, and timing is always important to Jesus. In other words, Jesus is never reckless. He never courts danger. He does not go about looking for trouble. The other thing to remember about Jesus is that he is a universal Savior. Jesus comes to embrace all of humankind. He comes to embrace all God's children, no exceptions, not just a select few. And so, for Jesus, potential discriminators such as ethnicity and regional boundaries and cultural distinctions and ancient traditions and prejudices mean nothing to Jesus. As the Son of God, Jesus seeks to extend God's unconditional love to everyone, regardless of who they are. This is why Jesus once said that he really has no home. You remember that passage in Matthew 8 where Jesus makes this remarkable statement. He says, "Foxes have their dens and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." In other words, Jesus has no home. But what that really means is that since Jesus has no specific home, everywhere is Jesus' home. Jesus is just as much at home, say, in Samaria as he is, say, in Jerusalem. Jesus is just as much at home in enemy territory as he is, say, in Capernaum, up in Galilee. Boundaries, ethnic barriers, even religious differences don't mean anything to Jesus. Everywhere is home to Jesus. Jesus' temple, Jesus' home is the whole universe. And so, when Jesus decides to leave that area around Jerusalem because he's being hampered by the Pharisees, and in order to give John the Baptist some more space, Jesus decides to go to Galilee, that hill country region of Israel about 70 miles north of Jerusalem. But here's the problem. The problem in going from Jerusalem to Galilee is that Samaria is right smack in the way. There is this region of Samaria between Judea, where Jesus is, and Galilee, where Jesus wants to go. And keep in mind that the people in Samaria are hostile to Jews, such as Jesus and his disciples. And here is why they are hostile. The people who lived in Samaria considered themselves Israelites, but they were not Judeans. In other words, they were not Jews. The Samaritans believed their religion was the one true religion which had been practiced and preserved from prior to the Babylonian exile, hundreds of years before Jesus. In fact, the Samaritans were openly opposed to Judaism. The Samaritans practiced the ancient ways of worshiping God, not only, say, in a temple in Jerusalem, but anywhere that was revealed to be a sacred place, such as local shrines and tops of certain mountains. The Jews, on the other hand, believed that true worship of God had to be centered around the temple in Jerusalem. And so they considered the Samaritans to be heretics and pagans, religiously unclean by their standards. And so at the time of Jesus, this conflict between the Judeans and the Samaritans was hostile. It was intense. These two groups hated one another. In fact, there was a saying around Jerusalem at the time of Jesus that the only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. And so, to get to Galilee, rather than going east across the Jordan River and then turning north to get to Galilee, like any good Jew would do, Jesus does something different. Jesus takes the most direct route possible, and he goes due north, straight into that hostile territory of Samaria. And the question is, why? Why does Jesus go due north, straight through Samaria? Well, you can only imagine what the disciples must have thought. You know, most of us will gladly take the long way around the uncomfortable situation, or we will do whatever it takes to avoid undesirable people, or those who look or act or believe differently from us. We don't want to cause trouble, and so we just stay away, or we go around people like those Samaritans. And yet, sometimes, if we choose to walk through this life with Jesus, at some point, you and I will be called upon to pass through Samaria with Jesus. We will be called upon to love the person who pushes our buttons at some point. Or at some point, Jesus will call upon us to love the person who pulls our strings, or the person who triggers anger inside of us. At some point, Jesus will call upon us to have an actual conversation with the person who challenges us the most. If you choose to go through life with Jesus, here's what you can expect. At some point along your journey with him, he'll want you to go with him through Samaria. That is, you and I, for sure, when it's our turn, when it's our time, we will be called upon to interact with the poor person. We'll be called upon to interact with the wealthy person. Or we may be called upon to share our story or to listen to the story of the imprisoned one. You may be challenged to actively listen, really listen, to the confused teenager who is struggling with his or her sexual orientation. Or Jesus may tap you to sit with the woman who has just had an abortion. or to listen to the guy who's having an affair and who does not know how to end it. Jesus may call on you to listen to the mother of three who cannot for the life of her stay sober and clean. If you persist in following Jesus, at some point he will lead you through Samaria, where the journey becomes no longer fun, where we are confronted there by the annoying ones, the persistent ones, the dirty ones, and those who are poised to refuse our help or even our very presence. But I believe Jesus takes us through Samaria for a reason. And here's the reason. When we always immerse ourselves in people and surroundings that are familiar and secure, we can begin to think that we ourselves are the center of everything. That we ourselves are the center of creation. That we are the center of the universe. And so we become like those Jews in Jerusalem or those Samaritans in Samaria. And we begin to think that our way is the only way. Our way is God's way, the chosen way. And so when we're at home surrounded by the familiar, the safe, the trappings that we have chosen and have constructed for ourselves and which makes us feel comfortable, it becomes easy to shut out all the problems and the issues and the needs and the challenges that are just beyond the walls of our comfortable homes. Needs which transcend ethnicity and cultural and racial and economic boundaries. But as Jesus reminds us, Jesus has no home, which means Jesus' home is every place, even out there beyond our comfortable places, even out there beyond Jerusalem, even out there in Samaria. And Jesus wants to take you and me from time to time with him to Samaria. And it's in Samaria, this place that is so different, this place that many would avoid, even despise. It is here in Samaria that Jesus has the longest recorded conversation between himself and another person anywhere in Scripture. This conversation with a female prostitute in broad daylight in the center of town at the public well in Sychar in Samaria, of all places. And here she is. This Samaritan woman drawing water from Jacob's ancient well where Jesus, dusty and road-weary and thirsty, is resting. Immediately, Jesus sees something compelling in this woman. There immediately happens a heart-to-heart connection between them, and they have a real, authentic, meaningful conversation in which each one shares and in which each one really listens to the other. This lady is not one bit intimidated by Jesus, even though he is a rabbi. And maybe because she boldly meets the challenge of his words each step of the way, somehow something Jesus sees in her gives him the confidence to be completely vulnerable. And somehow Jesus is able to trust that if he really opens up with her, she will be able to bear the intensity and the truth of his total, unvarnished presence with her. Standing there before him in the context of this conversation, Jesus becomes the mirror in which this Samaritan woman recognizes the face of God and her own true self. And for Jesus, this becomes one of those rare moments when through his presence, God's unconditional love is recognized and graciously received by one of God's precious daughters, who happens to be a Samaritan woman. Jesus takes us to Samaria from time to time in order to show us that the true living water that we all need is not usually found within denominational boundaries or sets of religious directives or rules and regulations. Nor is this living water usually found among the safe trappings of our familiar traditions. The true living water, the water we need for our own spiritual survival, is found most often out there in places like Samaria. The living water of the truth of who we are and of who God is and of who our neighbor is granted to us most often when two or more human beings have a meaningful, heartfelt encounter in which the unconditional love of God is revealed to us in the presence of the risen Christ among us. It's in the context of this quality of fellowship that our being known and loved and forgiven by God and by our brothers and sisters can quench our spiritual thirst. It's within this kind of Christ-like community, wherever it happens, that our greatest wound, our deepest shame, our greatest sin becomes our greatest gift, our greatest teacher, the key to the fountain of living water, who is Jesus and his love. So, particularly during this season of Lent, don't be afraid to step out from the familiar and the known. Trust wherever it is Jesus is leading us, even if it means going with him to Samaria. It is often in the most unlikely places and amongst the most unlikely persons that the living water we need is to be found. Amen.